2016 edition of the Financial Insider. And I'm joined here today with our media director, QLE. How are you, Q?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I am wonderful, thank you. Glad to be back from the holidays, though.
Yes.
Yeah, love Thanksgiving, love Christmas, but love to get back into the new year and get back into the routine. And funnily enough, that is the topic of our broadcast today, Outlook 2016, Embrace the Routine. And we'll be talking about really what we see in store for the economy and the stock market throughout the year. And so we'll touch briefly on a few key topics that we see are important there. And also at the end, we wrap up, we'll have a few questions that we've had come in over the last week or so from clients, and we'll try and get to a few of those just to answer what is on your mind. And let me start off dissecting a little bit that title, okay? Outlook 2016, Embrace the Routine. So when you think about a routine, you know, really what we're thinking about is, okay, let's talk about my routine, right? I get up at 5:30 or 6 most days. And, you know, go to the gym, get that taken care of, come into the office, have a cup of coffee, look at your emails, see what's going on with the markets. And it's not exciting, but it's a routine, and it's how you run your life and you get things done and what to expect. And really, that's what we'll be delving into when we look at what we see happening for 2016. That's really a routine sort of events. And what I want to link this to is that since about August or so of last year, we've seen a lot of volatility, a lot of movement in the stock market that we're really not used to. It doesn't seem to be routine to us, because for the last, 4 or 5 years, since about 2011 or so, we've had a relatively, I use that word loosely, relatively stable stock market trending upwards. And that was our routine for a while. And really, we were lulled into a little bit of a false sense of security with that, because the fact is, that's not the stock market's routine. That's not the economic routine. Volatility and relatively large swings really is more of a routine for the stock market. And that's what we see going forward as we move into 2016, is we still don't think that this bull market, we still don't think that this uptrend in the stock market has come to an end just yet, but we do see a return to the routine of volatility, of some what can be unsettling and certainly not fun moves in the stock market when we've got our eye on our portfolio every day, right? So having kind of set the groundwork for that, let me launch into a few of the things that we'll be looking at here, a few of the key themes we'll be looking at here as we move into 2016. And the first thing that I want to mention that we'll be looking at, and that is a Fed tightening cycle. Okay, so what do we mean when we say a Fed tightening cycle? You know, it's no surprise or no shock to most people that we have been in an unusual, an unroutine, I guess you could say, low interest rate environment for quite some time. In fact, there hasn't been a raise in the interest rates from the Federal Reserve level since 2006, so for 10 years really. Well, that changed. In December just gone by, we had our first increase. It was just by a fraction of a percent, 0.25%, in fact, that interest rates were raised. And that's a cycle that is likely to continue in 2016. Now, there's lots of predictions as to how many increases will be made. But look, you know, everyone's talking from between 2 and up to 6 possible rate raises throughout the year. Now, you know, really the number of them doesn't matter that much. What really matters is that we've now entered an environment of rising interest rates, and that can have impacts on the economy, on the stock market. Higher rates at the Fed level mean higher mortgages, higher auto loan rates, higher credit card balances. Now, do we see this having a negative impact on the economy? Not yet, but it's something to be aware of and something to take into our forecasting model and also the asset allocation model that we work on when reviewing portfolios. Okay, the second thing we're going to be looking at here is stabilizing oil prices. Q, how much did it used to cost you to fill up your SUV?
About around $70, $80.
How much did it cost you the last time?
I want to say $40.
$40. So that's an extra $35 to $40 you've got in your pocket, right? Okay. So a big difference that we've all, in my truck, all right, it used to cost me $120 to fill it up. Now it's closer to about $60. So that's an extra $40 you've got in your pocket, an extra $60 I've got in mine. Now, we might not be spending that right away because we're used to such high oil prices, such high gas prices, but eventually that money, that extra money that we're all finding in our pockets will probably go ahead and make its way through to the economy, right? So we're certainly watching the stabilization of oil prices, and funnily enough, oil has come down from a high of around $140 a barrel or so back in 2006 or 2007, and currently it's trading about mid-30s. So obviously that's why we're seeing such a savings at the pump. But at the same time, it's caused a little bit of a concern, well, not a little bit of concern, a pretty significant concern to investors and to people involved in the stock market. Now, you might look at this and say, well, why is there this concern? If oil's come down and gas is cheaper, why is it a concern? Well, that's one way of looking at it, right? Hey, it's costing us less to fill up our vehicles. But the other side behind that is, why is it costing less? Why has oil come from these extremely high prices down to obviously much lower levels? And there's a concern on one side of the table that the reason oil has become so cheap is because there is no demand for oil, right? And if there's no demand for oil, that means that people aren't driving as much, they're not taking as many vacations, they're not ordering as many things off of Amazon and having it shipped to them. And that could be an indicator that the economy is slowing down. Now, that's not the view that we hold. We actually think it's more of a supply issue, that there's just so much oil out there right now that there's more than people want, so they have to bring the price down, right? But some of the concern has been on one side of the table that the reason for the drop in oil is a demand issue, meaning economic slowdown, and that's why you're seeing oil impact the stock market. Like I said, ultimately we don't see that being the issue, but stabilizing oil prices, which we hope to see this year, should help stabilize the stock market as well, because it will alleviate some of those fears that some people have that there is a slowdown and oil is a representation of that. Okay, so when you hear people talking about oil and affecting the stock market, in a nutshell, that's what's really going on here. Okay, and the final thing we're going to look at is earnings rebounds. Okay, but before we go into that, Q, we had a question about oil.
Yes. So earlier you mentioned that we would foresee volatility with the stock market. So, like you said, right now with the stability in gas, that will stabilize the stock market. Mm-hmm. So, are we going to still get to see that volatility, or is it just?
Yeah. So, oil is not the only thing that's causing volatility in the stock market, all right? So I think we actually had a question come in from one of our clients about China, right? We'll get to that in just a little bit. It will certainly help. You know, if we can get some stability in oil, it will certainly help allay some of those fears that, hey, oil is indicating a slowdown in the economy, right? If we can get some sort of stability around that, it will help with the volatility. But I think what we really need to realize, too, is that a volatile stock market, a stock market bouncing around, that's the stock market's routine. It's probably not something that we wish was the case, but that's really what it is. If we go back and we look through the history of the stock market, there's not very many periods where it's just a constantly rising market. We have volatility, and it's part of the routine to embrace. But good question. Thanks for touching on that. The final thing we'll talk about here is earnings rebound, right? So when we talk about earnings rebound, what we're talking about is profits, okay? Obviously, for the stock market to do well, for companies to do well, they got to make some money, right? Otherwise, they don't stay in business. So the higher their earnings, the more stable, the more attractive they look as an investment source. And what's happened recently is the US dollar has strengthened significantly against currencies around the world. And you might say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Give me a second here and I'll walk you through the whole thing. But let me give you an example first of how strong the US dollar has gotten. Okay, so most of you know that, you know, I grew up in Australia. I lived in Australia for a lot of my life and moved here about 15 years ago. Now, last time I went back to Australia, I visited in the end of 2011, beginning of 2012. And when I went over to Australia, I took one US dollar. And for every one US dollar that I got about 90 Australian cents. So what does that mean? That means that one US dollar wasn't even worth one Australian dollar. I actually got less for my currency overseas when I went to Australia. If I went today and I took one US dollar to Australia, I would get about $1.35, $1.40 Australian. So in those few years, it's gone from not being even worth the same to being worth 30 or 40% more. So you say, okay, well, that's great. You know, the US dollar is stronger, but I don't see what that has to do with earnings. Well, think about this. You know, a lot of US companies, they're not located just in the US, right? They operate in Australia and in Asia and in Europe and places like that. And when they sell goods and services in those places, they get paid in the local currency. And when you bring that local currency back to US dollars, the US dollar is so strong, you're not seeing the same profits because they're losing some of that through the conversion rate. Simple sort of thing, you know, if we see some weakening in the dollar, it sounds funny, but a weakening dollar can actually be good for the economy because it makes it easier for the US to export items, and it helps with those profits that we want to bring back from overseas as well. Okay, so those are the few things that we're looking at. A more volatile stock market, it's not nice to think about, but it's something that we should really be aware of. A tightening interest rates by the Fed, stabilizing oil prices, and an earnings rebound is what we'll be focused on. Now, obviously, you know, this report that we've got here for 2016, it's pretty extensive. It's 25, 30 page report, and we're just touching on a little bit through this broadcast because it's far too much to go over in a session like this. But if you have any questions about what we've discussed or you want some more in-depth information as to what we'll be looking at for 2016, certainly reach out to us at the office here. You can email us at support@sfmplanning.com, or you can give the office a call here at 210-428-6250. Before we go, Q, I know we had a lot of questions come in from clients this week, especially with the market, the way it's been bouncing around. But let's get just a couple before we go, and I'll try and answer them to the best of my ability before we sign off here for this month.
So one of the questions our clients had concern with was they had received reports about a big economy crash coming up, and that was how that was one of their major concerns.
Okay. So. You know, I'm not sure where the report was from or who the economist was or the advisor, whoever it is that issued that report. But they're floating around all the time, so I mean, it's not uncommon to see that. So let me start off with one thing about the disastrous economy report that's out there all the time, okay? So, you know, there was a guy advertising on the radio a couple years ago. And he had this report, and he said, in the next 90 days, there's going to be a major economic event that's going to destabilize the whole stock market, and your money's going to be worth nothing, right? His ad played for 4 or 5 years on the radio, because every 90 days, something was going to happen, right? And nothing ever did. So first of all, a lot of that is usually marketing, okay? It's usually, hey, get this report, and then maybe hopefully I can get some of your business. Do you ever just dismiss it completely? Absolutely not. You know, read it, look at it, but take it with a grain of salt, any of those sorts of things, because I'm not quite sure the material that it's based off of. But you always just definitely want to be cautious. To extend that line of thought, you know, we touched on a few of those key topics that we're looking at. Right now, as far as the economic cycle goes, you know, in our opinion, the market goes through peaks and troughs, right? Okay, it goes to a top, then it tops out, and it goes to, just like the seasons, right? You've got winter and summer and fall and all that. It goes through stages. And from everything that we're seeing right now, you know, we don't see that we're at the end of that expansion cycle just yet. You know, we're approaching it, but we don't see we're at the end of it just yet. And, you know, is it possible something could happen unexpected that causes a big market correction or an economic crash? Well, I have to say it's possible, because of course anything is possible. Is it probable? We certainly don't see it. And I think probably the best way to liken that to is, so did you see the Powerball jackpot? $1.3 billion now, right? Okay. Is it possible that I'll win that? Yes, it is possible.
Right? You can never say no.
Is it probable? Probably not, right? And so that's how I'd answer that is, you know, are any of those things possible? Yes. From everything we're seeing, not probable. Absolutely. And what else have we got?
So another client asked, why does China have such a major impact and why is their economy so unstable?
That's a good question, because that question's actually been going around for 12 months now when all this started, you know, back in August or September or whatever it was last year. And, you know, I would like to take a step back on this. Instead of launching into all the details, well, this is, you know, the economy of China and this is what's going on over there. Let me take a step back. And I want to share a real quick story that one of my professors in Australia told me one time when I was in school there. And, you know, my degree was in international business. And it's kind of funny because here in the States, if you study international business, you probably focus on, you know, Mexico or Central South America, trading partners that are within the region, which makes sense. But in Australia, when you do international business, you focus on doing business in Asia because Australia is basically located in Asia. And so we talked about China, and he had actually lived in China and Thailand and all sorts of places like that. And he said, so this is an example of what's going on in China. He said, imagine you're in a forest or a jungle or whatever, and someone has gone ahead of you with a machete, and they have cut a path through the jungle. You know that kind of image you see of someone trying to get into the jungle, and it's real dense and thick, and someone goes and they get the machete out and cut the ferns and the leaves away, and they make a path, and everyone can go through. He's like, well, for China, it's kind of like somebody has cut that path out and they're 100 yards into the jungle. And China has been coming up behind that path and it's been real, real easy for them because everything's been cleared. Everything's been pushed out of the way. And if you think about it, it's kind of true. You know, a lot of innovation and development was already done by a lot of Western countries that they borrowed technology from, whether it's the US or Europe, and they were able to advance themselves real quick. But he said at some point, right, that person who's going through the jungle with a path already cut, at some point, they're going to run up to where those people are cutting through the path, and they're going to have to slow down because they're going to be having to plow through that jungle as well at the same time. And that's, I think, what you're starting to see the beginning of with China right now, is that they've had huge growth, great advancement, but a lot of it has been very easily gained from somebody who's already forged that path already. And I know that they're technically a communist country, but they're almost communist in name only. They have a lot of free market sort of aspects to their economy. They have a, you know, freely traded stock market, which they're still getting used to right now, which is causing a lot of problems. And I think really the reason that it's impacting us so much is that it's just, we just don't know where they're going to land with the whole thing yet. If you look at what the U.S. exports to China, it's very small. Right? The U.S. does not export a lot to China, but the fact you can't get away from is that they are the second largest economy in the world. And whatever there happens over there, you know, it does matter. So that's really what's going on, is that China is starting to find their feet at the same level as everybody else in the world now, that they've caught up to innovation, caught up to an open market system. and they're starting to get on their feet. And as that happens, there'll be some pain points. I have no doubt that over the years, you know, the whole thing will, it'll sort itself out. And again, you know, like we tell all of our clients is your concern about what happens with your investment in the next year or the next 10 years, the next 15 years? And we should all be looking at the long run. If the big concern is the next year, you probably need to reassess how you're invested, and more than likely you shouldn't be invested in the stock market or anything too volatile if your time frame is that year that we just mentioned. So we'll wrap it up there. Please remember, everybody, everything we've discussed here should not be taken as a recommendation. If you have any questions about what we discussed or your personal financial situation, please be sure to reach out to us here at support@sfmplanning.com or give us a call at the office, 210-428-6250. We'd love to speak with you.